And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Today, I'd like to talk to you about robots. You know, a lot of us don't think too much about robots. A lot of the movies are about robots today. And they're sort of second creations. They're really not the main stars. Now, they were in movies like Terminator. But they're sort of assistants, aren't they? They're just big metallic hunks. And we don't give them much play, do we? And we don't really realize how close we are to robots becoming live people. In fact, robots really are alive. They really are alive. They're more alive than most people I've seen, I'll tell you that. They're alive. In fact, I'm tempted to write a book, Robots Live. They live. Now, we go on with our daily lives and we don't think much about these machine creations. But I'd like to talk to you today about the incredible varieties of robots and the fact that we're going to be replaced by them. Now, I'm getting a little bit up there in years, folks. But if you're, even in your 50s, maybe 60s, I believe you're going to see an era, the robot age in America. It'll be an age of incredible wonder. And there might even be an occasional robot demonstration or march. Robots might be asking for their civil rights. We might have to change our constitution and include robots in and include them in the Bill of Rights. That's right. Now, don't think of robots as just a machine. I'm convinced that we're now on the verge of singularity. We're on the verge of giving them artificial intelligence that will be greater than what you and I produce with our brains. No matter how intelligent, how smart you are, there's a robot somewhere in the world that can replace you. Now, you may be more dexterous. Your hands, your legs may be more nimble and you may be able to manipulate things a little bit better than robots, but they're fast gathering steam. They're very quickly going to be doing things that you'll be amazed. There are new agricultural robots. I've seen them. I've watched them as they work the fields. They go from tree to tree picking the fruit. They know what fruit is good and what is not, what's ripe and what's not ripe. They can see it. They have vision. They also have odor capability. They can smell the fruit. And they pick the good fruit and they leave the other on the vine. And they go from tree to tree. Now, the farmers and the agriculturalists used to pay good money to people to do this for them. But they don't need the folks anymore. They've got robots. Now, I drive up to McDonald's or someplace like that to get a hamburger and, you know, I push the button and I order my hamburger. Then I go around and I pay for it. And then I drive up to the next window and pick it up and I'm gone. I only see about two people, one at each window. But 10 years from now, there'll be nobody. You won't see anybody. It'll be like one big vending machine. Now, what are they going to do with all those millions of workers at Whataburger and In-N-Out Burgers and McDonald's and so forth? Wendy's, Jack in the Box. Where are they going to go? What's going to happen to them? Who will pay them? Well, I believe that's why we're beginning to go into the socialistic age. I mean, over 14 million people are paid for their phone service. They have Obama phones, they're called. But actually, they were begun back in the Clinton days. That's right. Bill Clinton and Al Gore started that program. And you and I are paying for all the Obama phones out there. And some people are having 10 or 20 telephones. They're cheating. But nobody asks questions. They just go sign up for these phones. It takes them about a minute. And next thing they know, they get the phone. They get so many minutes, I understand that some black pimps and drug dealers, they have all the free phone service they want. Many people now have their rent paid for by the government. They get on food stamps. They get so much for themselves and food stamps and so much for every child they have. And now their medical care is going to be paid for with Obamacare. And this is only the beginning, because now we're going to lay millions of people off work. Why? Because there are not going to be any jobs for them. Robots are going to take their jobs. But don't robots cost a lot of money? Yes, they do. But think about that. One robot can do the work of 10 people. It can work 24 hours a day. It doesn't need a rest. Doesn't take breaks, smoke breaks, none of that. It doesn't really get sick, but if it breaks down, you can get another robot to fix it. It doesn't take vacations. It doesn't have to retire. Now, I wrote my first book about robots in 1985, I believe it was. It was entitled The Personal Robot Book. Then I wrote The Great Robot Book. And then finally, I wrote a book called Careers with Robots. Then I thought, well, I better rest it up a little bit. You know, robots, I had robots coming out my ears from writing three books on robots. I don't know of anybody in the whole United States of America that wrote three books in a row on robots. I wrote the first book in the world on the personal robots, the first book in the world on careers with robots. And now I've written another book again called Robot Alchemy. Now, what is the meaning of alchemy? It means witchcraft, magic. The subtitle of this book is Androids, Cyborgs, and the Magic of Artificial Life. And believe me, every day there are new stories coming out about robots. Just since I finished this book, 4 months ago? This book is brand new. But every day I see on the news new stories about new robots. And some of them are very impressive. You know, my man here, Jerry Barrett, came in one day. He said, "Hey, Tex." I said, "Yes." "Have you seen the new DARPA robot?" Now, that's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, our government. "Have you seen the new robot that DARPA has created?" he says. "It's called Atlas." I said, "No. Well, I want to know more about that." And he brought me a picture of it. Man, it's frightening. It's scary. It looks exactly, like a man. I can see the eyes. And the arms they just go up and down. And I wouldn't want to try to arm wrestle this fellow. Let me tell you that. He's huge. He's like the Terminator. This is scary. Now, we've had in the past a lot of bumbling, faltering, slow robots. You know, like in the movie, roar, 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 roar. By the time he gets to you, you're gone. Not this guy. In fact, the Army has created the cheetah. They don't call it that for nothing, my friends. It runs three times as fast as a human being. It has four legs. You can't outrun the cheetah. And if you try to go in some house or a building or structure of some kind, he'll break down the door and get you. I'm really amazed at this Atlas. A company called Boston Dynamics has a contract with DARPA to produce it. It's an incredible machine. Then over in Japan, I read this article, a Japanese robot has taken the top-ranked university exam. You know, in Japan, all high school students must take a college exam, sort of like our SAT. Well, this robot has an artificial brain, and they say that they want to take this robot and give him the test. Now, the test has questions on things like math, foreign language, computers, algebra. And they're going to show you, they say, Fujitsu, that's the company, that their robot can outperform any human being. They're going to have this robot to score high marks on the exam for Tokyo University, one of the world's top-ranked schools. Okay, well, I'm sure they'll succeed. Meanwhile, they say that baseball is the all-American pastime. I'm not sure, maybe college football is. But a robot was chosen to throw the first pitch at the Detroit Tigers game this year. Now, the robot, according to this news article, was developed by Detroit area high school students. You know, the ceremonial first pitch was done by a robot. A team of 30 teenagers spent the summer designing the robot. He was called Cyber Young. Cyber Young. It's about the size of a shopping cart. And the article says it's basically a big pea shooter. But it's so powerful it can blow the ball through a piece of PVC pipe. I tell you, I don't want to be at bat when this thing throws its ball. It better be on target in fact, if those aren't, it might just break the bat. Now they have aluminum bats now, I know, but can it break the bat? I mean, or bend the bat? Maybe put a dent in the aluminum? I don't, but I'll tell you, a robot can do the job. Yeah, it can pitch at the Detroit area game a lot better than the politicians do that they use to throw out balls. Don't you think so, folks? Then DARPA keeps spending our billions of dollars. Who tells these people what to do? Who tells them to spend $127 billion for a hunter-killer robot? Well, here's a new article for you. DARPA has created a shape-shifting robot with color-changing abilities. Let me read it to you. It says, scientists in the United States at DARPA are working with DARPA, a collaboration between Harvard and the Pentagon, said they had devised a soft-bodied robot inspired by the squid and octopus, which can crawl, camouflage itself, and hide from cameras. I mean, think about that. Like an octopus, it can change its shape, change its size, change its color. Wow. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Okay, a shape-shifting robot with color-changing abilities. And it's ready for action. Meanwhile, we got what they call the robot dogs of war. Got pictures of them running side by side down a forest trail. The robo dogs. I mean, they look like huge. They look like gigantic bulls. These are big dogs. Four-legged. Futuristic. They can go over the roughest terrain. They can carry 400 pounds each. And they can go 20 miles before they have to refuel. The robot dogs of war. How'd you like to have one of these babies chasing you down a trail? Man, they're big. They look like bulls or elephants. They're giant dogs. Meanwhile, what about the brains? What about the brains of the robot? What have we got there? Well, DARPA's doing stuff on that too. Duke University Medical Center has a neurobiologist named Miguel. Okay, Miguel. Actually, Michael, but his name is Miguel. Nicholas. He's developed an organic computer. Now listen to this, folks. This computer, it's organic. It links multiple brains together. Now, have you ever heard of the Borg? B-O-R-G, the Borg? That's what this rascal is. You see, one brain will not solve the problem. So maybe you could have two brains, or 5, or 10, or 15, or 1,000, or 10,000, or maybe the whole world. Everybody has an individual brain, and we think that we think independently, but what if all of us thought the same thing? We're given orders, or listened to the same music, or believed in the same Antichrist at the same time. Now they can do that. Now they have this capability. The scientists call this a brain link, neurological brain link. It's a mind mailed, they also call it. Now here's how they demonstrated this. They had a rat roaming around a laboratory in Brazil, and they had a rat in the United States in a laboratory. Now they placed electronic sensors on one's brain in Brazil and the other in the United States. The result, both rats received the thoughts of each. But then they centered on the second rat, the United States rat. It could receive the thoughts of the first rat in Brazil. It could mimic its behavior. Now this was reported in Scientific Reports, a journal of the Nature Publishing Group. Now, I want you to think about this. This organic computer, this rat in the United States told the rat, gave orders, directions to the rat in Brazil. So you could have an Antichrist in the White House. He could be connected by internet, wireless internet, Wi-Fi, let's call it, to every human being on the planet. You know, I am your president. I direct you to do ABC. And we, rats that we are, will obey him. Folks, is that not a little bit frightening? You don't have any, the rat in Brazil didn't have any say about it. The rat in the United States was the boss. That's the way they had programmed it. I mean, look at your iPad. It doesn't have any wires, but it can pick up signals on Wi-Fi. You can get any website all over the world. Any information you want from any podunk city or town anywhere on this planet. And Google will center in and has a photograph from space that will narrow down and give you a picture of someone's backyard in Afghanistan or Tokyo or Rio de Janeiro. You can see somebody's backyard or front yard. You can see them driving down the street in San Jose, California, or Tokyo, Japan, or Nairobi, Kenya. Now, naturally, this laboratory run by Duke University Medical Center received money from DARPA, $26 million, in fact, for work on so-called brain-machine interfaces. And they've been building this thing for 15 years. And they readily admit that what they want to do is to place a chip in every soldier's head. Every airman, every naval person's head to receive instructions. Folks, I don't want any chip in my head telling me what to do. I'd like to be independent on my own, wouldn't you? I mean, God can read my brain. God knows everything. That's okay. He's my boss. He's my chief. How about you? I don't really want these people to be doing this. I mean, well, by the way, there's many others working with this sinus. There's a neurobiologist named Andrew Schwartz of the University of Pittsburgh. That happens to be a leader in the field of brain-computer interactions. He says this is only of limited interest. We have moved beyond that. I mean, to me, this was a fabulous situation here. This brain mail, this brain link, these two rats, two different countries linked together, their brains. But he says, that's nothing much. I'm doing things greater than that now, says Andrew Schwartz, professor at the University of Pittsburgh. We have moved far beyond this. Wow. There's nothing unexpected or surprising here. Haven't you heard that so many times in the government? Nothing here to see. Go on. Just go on. Nothing here to see. Now, the Duke scientific research team says what we are after is, quote, a workable network of animal brains. We're working with rats. We're working with monkeys. Neuroscientist Lee Miller of the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwest University says he wants to work with people, human beings. Well, I'll bet he does. And I'm sure he has the opportunity to do so. Meanwhile, listen to this. Researchers from the University of California and the University of Oxford have actually hacked a brain. What is a hack? A hack is when you do a criminal outlaw action to get into something. You break into your, let's say, your bank's computers and you steal money. You break into the government's data bank and you take out data that you're not supposed to. That's a hack. Now scientists have successfully hacked a human brain. They can go into your brain and take out data. I suppose it's a great way to find out if a criminal did the act. Did you murder that girl? No, I didn't. Well, our computer says you did. We just hacked into your brain. We can see on your brain that you killed her. Now, this sounds like something out of a movie, doesn't it? But they didn't have any fancy computers to do this. They can go in your brain and take out sensitive information like a PIN number or your bank account information. Here's what they did. They got an off-the-shelf, you can buy it at your store, an Emotive, that's the name of the company, brain-computer interface. Cost about $299. This device, for less than $300, you can communicate with your computer by thought. You can tell your computer what to do by thinking it. It's, wow. But scientists wanted to see if they could hack into other people's brains, and they could. You know, we've got lie detectors, right? You can tell whether a person's lying. They've got voice detectors. You can tell whether their voice shows stress in it. Of course, we have DNA, which is a dead giveaway in many cases. But now, if the criminal doesn't tell you what you want him to say or he won't talk, I'll just bring in the old Emotive device and read his brain. Do you like Big Brother? Do you love Big Brother? No, I don't. Well, the computer says that you do. You're eligible. No, I don't love Big Brother. No, or excuse me. Yes, I do love Big Brother. Well, the computer says you don't. Now, there's some other many good things here. For example, here's a news item. Somebody is blind. A woman is blind. Her name is Diane Ashworth. Severe vision loss. She was inherited this condition. And a hospital in Great Britain has a new bionic eye. They hooked her up to the machine, and guess what? A flash of light. It was the first light this woman had ever seen in her life. She was in total darkness, and suddenly she saw a shape and light. Now, this is a miracle, but think about this, folks. If you're blind from birth, you don't know what things look like. You can imagine. You know, it's sort of like, you know, the old story about going to an elephant and feeling of its legs, and they say, what do you feel there? And the blind man says, it's a tree. It's a tree. He's just feeling the legs of the elephant. It's a telephone post, whatever he says. But once he gets his sight, he looks up and says, whoa, this is what you call an elephant, isn't it? This girl was fitted with a prototype bionic eye, and she saw the flash, and she began to see the images. And it takes you a long time to figure out what you're seeing. Your sight may be perfect, but the image is, your brain has no information. Even a baby can see things. A baby is trying to put together the information in its brain. That's what this woman did. Now, this is an amazing thing. Think about that. A woman in total darkness. Now she can see thanks to a bionic eye. Then, of course, we have more farcical things. Here's an article about a cockroach. And the cockroach was, of course, fitted with a microchip. Now the roach will go wherever you want it to. It'll stop. It'll turn around. A live roach. I don't know why they did this, folks. I mean, frankly, I don't really care about roaches very much. When I was a young man, we had a lot of roaches in the house where we rented. And I was all the time fighting those critters. So there's the big old Texas cockroaches. They're about 2 inches, I mean, maybe 1.5 inches. And they're huge. I remember the first time a friend came from up north and saw one of those, and he says, boy, it's a water bug. That's a water bug. I'd never heard of a water bug. We just call them roaches. But most people think of roaches as small critters. These are big ones. I don't really want to put a microchip on a roach. Seems like a big waste of money, doesn't it, to you, folks? Now, all of this sounds interesting, but folks, things are going to be happening very quick to you. You're going to be seeing things over the next 10 years that are amazing. Now, Google is one of the largest companies in the world today, and they're bringing in scads of money from their search engine and from their advertising revenue. And the leaders of Google, and particularly Sergey Brin and a guy named Schmidt, are making money hand over fist. Now, they're working with the National Security Agency and other government intelligence agencies to give them all of our information. Now, since Google is the number one company in the world, practically, getting our information, there's nothing we can do about it. But I do want you to know more about what Google is doing in the robotics area and how what they're doing, they paint such a coat of goodness on it. It's so wonderful. Aren't these robots great creatures? I'm not so sure. I want you to know about these robotic life creatures, and I want you to decide for yourself. Is this what you want in the next 5 to 10 years in your life? I report, and I'll let you decide. Meanwhile, though, we're going to take a short break. We'll be with you right back after this brief message. I'm Tex Morris. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, folks. I'm Tex Morris. Great to be with you today. And I want to tell you a little bit about my book, Robot Alchemy. If you haven't got this book, I'm telling you, it's going to be something that you need and you appreciate. Now, it's a big book, like many of my books are, but this one is loaded with beautiful pictures. I went out and I got the most gorgeous pictures. And, of course, I have a lady here that works at the ministry named Sandra. And she does just a great job of putting the pictures together. And, you know, we work together on this book. I write the book and give her the pictures. And she places them. And she does a wonderful job. We end up with a book called Robot Alchemy. And, of course, I explain under each picture what it's all about. But it's a great, I guess you would call it a coffee table type book. Just put it on your coffee table, and when people will come in to visit you, they'll want this book. The cover itself is very attractive. And it shows an android looking up at a robot up in space. It's just an interesting picture entirely. But this is the first book ever. I love firsts. I'm a guy, I just feast on firsts, as you know. And this is the first book to tell you about the robots of today and how they're going to impact your life tomorrow. Now, you may say, well, that'll wait till tomorrow. There's so many bad things going on. There's so much news today. But listen, folks, just like I've told you the first half of this program, there are things going on in the field of robotics today that will impact you so mightily. I mean, you'll wish you had have studied these things. It's going to hit us with all force. These dominating machines are going to be here before you know it. And I wanted you to get a head start. And that's why I wrote and I published Robot Alchemy. Now, the pictures give you an idea of what's going to happen. I mean, look at the pictures of the androids in this book. They're women and they're men. And the women look so attractive and so lovely that I'm sure there are men today that will say, well, I would like her to be my romantic mate. And there are women out there that say, well, golly, I wouldn't mind dating that android. But they are androids. And then there's the cyborg. What is a cyborg? A cyborg is a human being that has so many parts of a robot that they actually become a robot. I joke to my wife, Wanda, that she's a human cyborg because she's had so many different joints. She's got a whole shoulder, you know, medically put in, and both of her hips. One hip twice. One of them, the hip, you know, wore out after about 15 years. She has another hip. We call her the bionic woman around here, you know. And most interesting of all is the magic of artificial life. You'll be asking yourself questions when you see what these robots will do, or these androids or cyborgs. And you'll say, well, that's a live being. Well, it is. I think we're creating a new species. Now, they don't have a soul, so they can't go to heaven or hell. But maybe they will. Maybe God will let mankind infuse them with a soul. I seriously doubt that. Maybe I'll do a program one day on, do robots have souls? But in any case, the answer now is no, they don't. But robots can have emotion. They can feel. They can hurt. And they can deal out pain. One of the things this book covers is military robots. A drone is a form of robot, and they're certainly dealing out pain today. Now, I want you to have this book, Robot Alchemy, for your love gift of $30 to the ministry. Now, why is it $30? It's because it's twice as big as a regular book. Twice as big. And it's got all these beautiful color pictures. Color photos. I promise you, it's well worth $30. In fact, we're not going to be making, I suspect, much of anything for the ministry for the book. But I wanted it to get out to you. I want to give you a heads up. I want you to know in advance what is happening in the field of robotics. And, you know, so many of your neighbors and your loved ones are going to be surprised when all this happens. And you'll be sitting back saying, well, I've had robot alchemy for many years by Tex Mars, and I knew in advance what was going to happen. And you will know. Robot alchemy, $30. Please add $5 for shipping and handling, a total of $35. Ask for the book, Robot Alchemy. Our phone number to get it is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. You can even read a feature article on this book on our website, powerofprophecy.com. If you forget that, just look up TexMars.com. That's the same site. Just has a different name. And read what I say there about robot alchemy. You can phone us toll-free, again, 1-800-234-9673. Or write to us and send us a total of $35. And we'll get the book right out to you. Our address is 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We've been here, Jerry, how long have we been here at this address? About almost 20 years, isn't it? Almost 20 years, this address. I like it out here. It's a wonderful building. And Juan and I bought this so many years ago. And when we bought it, it was a lot cheaper. Of course, this has turned into a nice neighborhood. And we're down at the end of the whole road and going up to this place. I mean, there's mansions out there, aren't there? And we're not in one of them, but that's okay. we have everything we need out here at 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, we got two cats. We got one that lives inside, one lives outside. It won't come up to us, but we still feed it. It's a blonde cat, Blondie. Then, of course, we've got our regular cat, Prissy. Boy, that's a good name for Prissy, isn't it? It's a lovely cat. Sort of a powder gray cat. Powder gray cat. And everybody feeds her. Everybody loves her. Hey, I noticed, Jerry, she's getting a little bit thin lately. I thought that's what it was, you know, because, I mean, she was sort of overweight. And suddenly she's getting, I mean, she's not like thin, but I know she's lost a little weight. And I said, wow, what is that? Is it? Now, she's getting old, huh? That's 13 years old. How long do cats live? I don't know. Boy, she's such a sweet cat, a lovely cat. I wouldn't want to think of her dying. Folks, this is a silly thing, but pray for our cat. You know, a farmer came in to see me one day. He was a fan of the ministry, and we were chatting a little bit. He says, one of the reasons I like your ministry, Mr. Mars, is you believe in prayer. I said, yes, I do. He said, well, you know, I pray for all my farm animals. I said, do you really? He said, oh, yeah. He says, you know, when one of my pigs, he had a bunch of pigs. He said, when one of my pigs gets sick, I get on my knees and I put my arm around it. And I pray and I ask Jesus to be with this pig. And he says, that may seem silly to you. I said, no, it doesn't seem silly to me. He says, but I'm telling you, they get well. My pigs get well. And you know, that's pretty good. And I said, well, brother, I believe you. And I said, when you got a farm animal that you love and you want us to pray for it, let us know. We'll pray for it. And he never did. He always did his own praying, I guess. But I thought about that a long time. He prayed for his pigs. He got on his knees on the ground, put his arm around that pig. Now, you know, that's a guy that has faith and he believes in prayer. And you know, I almost cried over it. I told Wanda a dozen times, she said, I've heard that story. I said, I know, but you need to listen again. You know, God is so great. He's got all the power in the world. He can do what he wants. I've had many people say, well, I'm sure going to miss this dog. I guess I'll never see it again. I said, well, you'll see it in heaven. Oh, no, you know, animals don't go to heaven. Well, they do if you want them to. God says he'll give you the desire of your heart. You lost Fido or kitty cat? You know, I'm telling you right now, it's true. Now, you may say I'm silly. Hey, folks, listen, I've written 46 books. I've got two college degrees. I've taught for, three or four universities. And I'm telling you right now, God will be good enough to hear your prayer, and you will have when Juan and I get to heaven, I think I could just see us walking down a road, and coming the other way are all of the dogs and cats that we've owned. That's all. We don't have all those silly pets. You know, the snakes and the lizards and all that junk. As for somebody else, I'm not knocking it, but I don't care all that stuff. No, just the dogs and cats. And we had a couple of horses. Yeah, we had a couple of horses. They were really nice animals. Anyway, let's go to our regular program back again. Robot Alchemy. I could talk all day about the power of God. If he can do that, if he cares about a pig, he cares about you, dear friend. You've got to believe. That's all. Just believe. And you'll be amazed what God can do if you just believe. I'm just astonished all the time. I'm astonished. And it's wonderful to see the work of God. Through this ministry, what we've done, you know, folks, you've given us love gifts, and it seems like God just multiplies them and multiply, just like he did the fish and the loaves. And I know it'd be better for us to have a big skyscraper building, you know, we'd have a 1,000 employees and but I think God, he knows just what size he wants us, what we're to do, and he just makes everything possible. I want to thank you for giving to this ministry. Thank you so much for giving. And by the way, I do need to tell people about the employees love gift fund. We have every year we have the employees, we have a campaign. We ask you if you would give. Now all the money that comes in, it's not a great amount, but it's an amount of money, and we divide it up between the employees. Now our employees here, they don't have medical coverage. They don't have all these free benefits. So this sort of helps a little bit. If you can give to our employees, give to the employees fund. Just write a check or a money order or send cash. Send it, of course, to Power of Prophecy. But send a separate note and say, this is for the employees fund. For the employees fund. Now, when you do that, we will make sure that every cent goes direct to the employees. Now, I don't touch it. Wanda doesn't touch it. And it's kept in the bank, of course. But then we get it out and we divide it. And everybody gets the same amount, whether they're the janitor or the, like Jerry here, the radio producer, or Michelle, our office manager. Everybody gets the same amount. The employees fund. If you want to give to that, please do. Now, you can give to the ministry at the same time, but tell us how much you want to designate for the ministry and how much for the employees fund. And we would appreciate it so much. We have that campaign every year about this time, and we thank you so much. We really only have two big campaigns every year. One is for the children's home, and the second is for the employees. We appreciate that. Now let's return to our regular program. We're looking at robot alchemy, and we're talking about all of the strange creatures that are being developed now. Invented, you might say. Now, Google has a big part in this. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about Google. First of all, they're a crummy company. Yeah, they are. They cooperate with Big Brother government, giving all of our information. They know what you're tapping into, what you're looking at on your search engines and the web pages. And they give it all to the government. And I saw Mr. Schmidt, the head of the company, he was saying, well, if you don't have anything to hide, what's the problem? Hey, have you ever heard of something called privacy, bud? But anyway, that's another story. Google has a company named Google X, and it's an invention house. And the director of it is a roboticist named Raymond Kurzweil. And Raymond invents robots. And one of their projects there is a driverless automobile. I've often said if you're going down a road or a street or a highway there in Los Angeles, California, well, look up, because you might see a car coming right for you and it has no driver. But it does have Google control. They use Lexus for this. I don't know why they don't use Fords or Chevys, but it's a Lexus, a driverless Lexus. Now, there'll be a guy sitting in the back seat, but there'll be no driver. Google does that. Google is fixing to use the very first quantum computer. The quantum computer. This computer is millions of times as powerful as any computer ever invented in the world. It was invented by DARPA and many university professors, but Google is going to take delivery of it. They're going to be the first ones this spring to take in this computer. They say this computer will cut short the time needed for singularity. What does that mean? Singularity is a term that was invented, about 10 years ago, by San Diego University mathematician named Vernon Inge. He said, there will come a time when the robots are as smart as people. They can outthink you, outperform you, outdo you in everything. There will come a time, he says, they're more flexible, more nimble, more able to do things. They will replace you. It will be the end of the human era. And he said it will happen around 2023. He said that a decade ago or more. 2023. That's only a decade from now. In 10 years, he said. You know, he said back then, of course, it was 20. The human era will be ended. Hey, we're the big cogs on this planet, aren't we? We're the big boys. We wear the hats. Come on. We're in charge, aren't we, of the animal kingdom? Not according to Mr. Vernon Vinge. He says, no, robots will take over. A new species. Now, Ray Kurzweil says that too at Google. He says with a new quantum computer, the time for man to be in charge of this planet is going to end. He says it may be as early as 7 years from now. 7 years. You know, I may live to see it after all. In 7 years, the robot will be better than you. Paul Sappho, Stanford University. I quote him in my book, Robot Alchemy. What happens after we have truly intelligent robots? After the singularity is reached? Let me quote him. At first, you're not even going to believe this quote. You're going to think I made it up, but I didn't. Paul Sappho knows what he's talking about. He doesn't say things unless he means them. He's a professor at Stanford University. Listen to what he said. What happens, this is his words, what happens after we have truly intelligent robots? If we're lucky, they'll treat us as pets. If not, they'll treat us as food. Oh, boy. They'll eat you. Well, I don't know. I'm sort of, you know, I'm hard. I'm not my muscles, but surely no robot wants to eat Tex Mars. I mean, I'm an old guy. They'll probably eat you. Folks, you're younger than me, huh? Are you beautiful? Are you lovely? In your 20s and 30s and 40s? Yeah, they'll eat you first. We don't want that old guy there. He's old. He's just old and rangy beef. We don't want him. We want one of these youngins. Nah, I'm just kidding you. If we're lucky, they'll treat us as pets. If not, they'll treat us as food. Well, I don't want to be their pet either. I'm greater than a robot. No, I'm not, actually. No, I'm not. I mean, the only difference between me and a robot is God. God gives me powers to do things that robots don't have. Robots don't have souls. But soon they'll have artificial intelligence. You know, DARPA has developed a robot called the Eater robot, EATR, the Energetically Autonomous Robot. EATR. For energy, it uses biomass, meaning it can actually eat human bodies, dead people. Did you see the movie Soylent Green? There you go. A cannibal robot eating human beings. Of course, first it kills them. This is used in war, the Eater robot. It kills you, then it eats you. It looks like Paul Sappho knew what he was talking about, doesn't he? Now, robots, of course, are programmed to do things. Well, we wouldn't program a robot to kill a person and eat it. We'd be insane, wouldn't we? Well, I'm afraid that our world leaders today, they are insane. They're crazy. Look at George Bush. He told the soldiers, they made a film of it. He said, kick ass. Well, I'm sorry to even use that term. When you go into Iraq, go in there and, you know. And that's crude. That's rude. That's evil. I was watching for the first time this weekend a videotape of Libya, the leader of Libya, Gaddafi, being murdered. They were all around him. They were sticking him with their hitting him in the head. He had blood coming down his face. They were dragging him on a rope, and he was begging them. He was asking for mercy. Begging for mercy. They had no mercy. They murdered him. And I thought, you know, I know he maybe had committed murders himself. I'm sure he did. But somehow I thought, why not give the man mercy? They murdered him. If they can do that to him, they can do it to you too, friends. And today, America has gulag prisons all over this planet. Not just at Guantanamo Bay. And we have all of these TV people and all these politicians, John McCain and others, saying, yeah, torture's okay. Yeah, torture is good. Torture can get us the information we need. They want us to torture people. They say it's legal to torture. Well, we're doing it. We've done it for a long time. The government just kept it from us. Now they're admitting we're torturing people. Now, periodically, a politician will say, you know, Barack Obama will, or George W. Bush will say, America does not torture people. But of course we do. They're liars. We torture. Now, Google is going to take shipment of this new quantum computer, millions of times more powerful than today's computers, unbelievable speed and calculation power, turbocharged. The NSA will get its hands on this beast computer. And we'll have singularity. We'll have robots. What will the robots do? Well, by the way, let me mention, I said Vernon Inge wrote 10 years ago. He wrote his book about 20 years ago. I just want to correct that little fact. Well, when robots reach singularity, what will they do? They'll be commanded by human beings, all right, for a while. But what if they go on their own? You see, with artificial intelligence, these robots will think for themselves. It's not just what they're programmed. They're going to program themselves. Do you understand this? I am a human being. I have a brain. It may not be as great as a robot's or great as yours even. But I've written 46 books because I think for myself. No one tells me what to write. I write a book not because it's going to make money. I write it because God puts in my heart the desire to write that book. My newest book is DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Wanda said, don't write that book. You'll get in a lot of trouble writing that book. Everybody I talk to says it won't sell. It's an important book, but the Jews will kill it. It won't get in bookstores. It's going to be a flop. But when has that ever stopped Tex Mars? Never. I wrote it anyway. And by the way, it's doing pretty good in sales. I'm shocked. But I didn't really care one way or another. I do not get any royalties. All the royalties go back to this ministry. That's a little known secret around Power of Prophecy. They don't pay me according to how many books or how many videos sell around here. I just do what I feel God wants me to do, and that's it. At the end of the year, if there's any money left, well, I'll take a salary. Oh, my goodness gracious. It hasn't been very big these last few years. My employees will tell you that. But it's been okay. I mean, I can still eat. I can have gas to drive me back and forth. I've got a lovely wife. And if you've ever come to see me, you know I'm not a big clothes hog. My shirts I wear every day. I'm just going to reveal something, Jerry. My shirts cost $5. I buy them at Walmart. When I need more shirts, I go and I buy them at Walmart. And they're these pullover type of shirts. And I wear these Dockers. Same Dockers every day. They're always black. Now I have blue shirts and all kind of different shirts, but... And I wear these shoes. I think they're SAS shoes or something. The same shoes. I wear them with my suits. I wear them with the same shoes. I don't need clothes. I've got a watch. It's a great watch. I think this watch is the most expensive watch I ever owned. It's a Citizen. And I think it actually cost about $180. And when Wanda got that for Christmas, I like to faint at it. I said, $180? Are you kidding? Well, you need a good watch. You've never had a good watch. Well, okay. All right, I'll take it, and I like it. But I could have had a $40 watch. It would have been okay. Folks, you know what's important in the world, don't you? I'm going to die some years from now. And this watch, I don't know who's going to get this watch. But if you want one of my t-shirts, just write me a letter and I'll have them send it to you, okay, after I'm gone. It probably won't be worth very much. Actually, this one I got on cost $7.98. It's a good one. They're probably all made in China. Nothing's made in America anymore, but well, you know, I've talked a lot about these things today. And I believe they're prophetic. Read Revelation chapter 9. Read Ezekiel chapter 8. Read Revelation 13. You'll find out there's some strange creatures in the end of the days. Very strange. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke, and out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And they were given power like unto scorpions to torment men. The locusts were like horses prepared for battle. Their faces were like men, but their hair long like women. Their teeth were like lions. And he heard the sound of their wings, and they had tails like scorpions. I saw horses as the heads of lions, and from their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. And their tails were like serpents that bit men. And caused great pain. I believe there's great creatures coming, folks. Whether it's through genetic engineering or through robotics, we're going to see some horrible times ahead. You need to stay close to Jesus Christ. Until next time, friends, it's Tex Mars. Been so great being with you today. Please tune in the same time next week. And discover the power of prophecy.